Good morning. Today we follow the order of service on page 15 in the Lutheran hymnal. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn 160, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our psalm for today is Psalm 22. It's a rather long psalm, but it's certainly fitting psalm for the fact that we are beginning Passion Week, and we'll discuss and consider this week the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will read this together in unison. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you, and were delivered. They trusted in you, and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip and they shake the head, saying, He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted to the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has done this. Almighty and everlasting God, you have sent your only begotten Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death on the cross, that all mankind should trust in him and then follow the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may look to him and his sacrifice in faith and follow the example of his patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. You may be seated. For our epistle lesson today, we read in the Book of Romans in chapter 5, the first 11 verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Here ends our reading of the epistle. I ask you to please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The gospel appointed for today, as we celebrate the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ this Palm Sunday, is recorded in Matthew chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Here ends our reading of the Holy Gospel. Today we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, which is found on page 22 in your hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship by singing hymn 162, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. I ask you to bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we again pray your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing upon both the speaking and the hearing of your word this day, that we might be comforted and be strengthened in our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the hearing of your word, that we might continue in that true faith, that we might rejoice in the blessings you have given us in our Lord Jesus unto life everlasting. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God which we consider today is the epistle lesson read to you a few minutes ago from Romans chapter 5. Again, it's helpful to consider what has come before as we have studied in the book of Romans. And we've seen in chapter 3 and chapters 2 and 3 how all of us are sinners and we sin. All of us have broken God's commandments. None of us are righteous, and the law was given. And what does the law do for us? It reveals our utter sinfulness, our inability to come before the Lord God to be accepted of him and counted righteous. In fact, that's the reason we begin our worship services, by confessing our sins and hearing the announcement of God's mercy and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, because we are unworthy sinners. We do not deserve to stand in God's presence, nor will God hear our worship and prayers if we do not confess our sins and look to him for another righteousness. And that righteousness is described in Romans chapter 3, which is a righteousness through faith. When we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and in his holy life, in his innocent sufferings and death on the cross to pay the price for our sins, God graciously forgives our sins and he credits our faith in Jesus with righteousness. He counts us righteous and holy. He accepts us as his dear children. It's for this reason that we have the great privilege of calling him our Father and praying to him, and he promises to hear our prayers, to watch over us, to keep us as his own dear children until we are finally with him forever in heaven. We've seen how Abraham and David were justified. Abraham was justified by faith even before circumcision was ever given. David was justified by faith, for he broke God's commandments. He sinned, but when he confessed his sins to the Lord forgave the iniquity of his sin. And we heard how these words spoken to Abraham, spoken of Abraham, that Abraham believed in the Lord and the Lord accounted it to him or credited it to him for righteousness, that these were not just written for Abraham, but they are written for us who believe the promises of God. For us who look to Christ, who died on account of our sins and was raised again that we might be justified, forgiven, and righteous in God's eyes through faith in Jesus. And that brings us up to where chapter 5 continues, and I remind you that, you know, originally when Paul wrote his letter, he did not say, okay, verse number 1, verse number 2, or chapter 1, chapter 2. These were added later for the sake of convenience so we could find Bible passages and study them and learn them. So the letter continues, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we who believe in Jesus have been justified or declared just and righteous, or another way to look at it is pardoned or forgiven, acquitted of all our guilt and sin when we look in faith to Jesus and his cross. And as it says here, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, when the world thinks of peace, they often think of it only in terms of, you know, fighting between two nations and, you know, they're shooting at each other and blowing each other up and finally a peace agreement is signed and the hostilities cease. But here we're talking about not peace of that kind, but peace between us and God. And we need to remember that in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve in his own image. They knew him. They loved him. They knew his will. They trusted in him. They had peace. They were united. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed that one command of God and ate of the fruit that God said, you know, you can eat from any tree in the garden, just don't eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. When they disobeyed God, doubted his word, and ate of that tree, that peace, that unity, that fellowship that they had with God the Father was shattered. And when God came into the garden to visit with them, what did Adam and Eve do? They hid from the presence of the Lord. Instead of coming out and being glad to be together with the Lord because they're in fellowship with him, they hid from his presence because they knew that they had sinned and they saw their guilt. And they did not want to stand in the presence of the Lord God. As a result of Adam and Eve's sin, all of us are born into this world outside of fellowship with God who made us. And when God's word is spoken and preached, what do people do? I don't really want to hear that because it condemns me for how I'm living. It tells me that I'm a sinner. And so we continue in rebellion against the Lord God as enemies of God. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified, we are reconciled to God, and we have peace with God. The Greek word is eirene. In the Hebrew, it is shalom. You know, the Jews greeted each other with that word, you know, shalom, meaning peace to you. Well, that word truly implies, first of all, peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does this mean? It means that we're no longer fighting against God, and God is no longer condemning us. It means that atonement has been made, God's wrath is satisfied against us, and God accepts us. And we, through faith in Jesus Christ, accept God as our Father in heaven. And now, as a fruit of our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't want to continue fighting against God's commandments and rebelling against him. We seek to live for him, to walk in his ways. And so, the disunity, the lack of fellowship, the rebellion on our part, is healed, and we are reconciled through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. You know, the fighting between us and God quits. Now we look at God's commandments as not something out there to condemn us when we go out and have fun and do what we please, but we see, you know, these commandments are really for our good. It often takes children a long time to realize that what their parents tell them is for their good and not to keep them from enjoying life. Lee's shaking his head yes, but he doesn't always agree. It goes on, it says, after it says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so how is it that we have this peace with God? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus that we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. In other words, God's grace, his undeserved love, his favor toward us would not be there except Jesus kept God's commandments for you and for me. Jesus then took all the guilt of our sin upon himself and suffered and died and made atonement. He satisfied God's wrath there on the cross when he shed his blood. You know, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As we read in Psalm 22, because God condemned and forsook him and punished him there on the cross for the sins of the entire world. And so Jesus made that grace possible, and through faith in Jesus, we are recipients of that grace. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And then it tells us that by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it's by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so through faith in Jesus, we become recipients, partakers of God's grace, his undeserved love and mercy toward us. And it says, we stand in that grace. It's the only way we can stand before God, is through his grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. Without that, we could not stand in his presence, because then we are back in our sins. We are condemned and guilty. But through faith in Jesus, we are counted righteous and forgiven and holy in his eyes. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so here we are. We know that we're guilty as sinners, but we know that, and we believe God's promise that through faith in Jesus, all our sins are washed away. We believe that God accepts us as his dear children through faith in Jesus, that God is gracious to us, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus did for us. And so we also rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And it's not hope like, well, you know, I hope I'm going to go to heaven and see the glory of God, but it's hope in, I know I'm going to heaven, and I'm just waiting for it to happen because God promised it. And so you and I, in the midst of all the troubles and accusations and things that are going on, we have hope in Jesus because we are now God's children through faith in the Lord Jesus. And it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. I don't always feel like glorying in tribulations, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or endurance. Now, tribulation are those things that we suffer for following Christ and being faithful to Christ. The troubles that we endure in this world, and I think we can safely say that we are going through another round of some pretty severe tribulation, although, you know, it's really nothing in comparison to what many Christians have suffered, because it wasn't just, you know, criticism and property disputes or things like that. It was life and death. But we rejoice in tribulation. What does the Bible say? And we didn't study in Luke today, but we looked at the triumphal entry instead. But what we would have studied and what we plan to take up after Easter is recorded in Luke chapter 6. And of course, it's also recorded in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus speaks many of the words that we call the Beatitudes. But in there, he says, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. And so we can rejoice when we are being persecuted or suffer tribulation for the truthfulness of God's word, for showing mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ, because this is what's happened all along. The prophets endured the same thing in the Old Testament, as well as the apostles in the New. And of course, tribulation produces perseverance or endurance. As we suffer tribulation, you know, after a while we become a little bit more, I guess you could say, hardened or used to the things that we must suffer as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we also become more experienced in knowing that God is at work through all of these things to bring us through them, to bring us out of them. You know, we have the promise later on in Romans chapter 8, that all things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. When tribulation, when suffering comes, you know, we may say, oh no, why would God, why would you let this happen to me? But God has a plan. Others may plan it for our harm or to hurt us, but God is using these things in order to strengthen our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a beautiful plan for us to share in his glory. And so we rejoice in tribulation, and we know that God is at work, and through tribulation, through suffering, he's producing in us perseverance or endurance, and through perseverance, character, which is pretty much describing that we become one who's experienced with these things and used to enduring the troubles that come with following Christ, and I guess you could say somewhat seasoned Christians, and that we know they're going to happen. But we continue to hold fast to Christ and his word, and we trust that Christ will bring us through them and that he'll use all this for our good and for our benefit. And it says, character, through character, hope. As we become more seasoned in enduring these things, our hope in Christ is strengthened. We realize that God's blessings, his promises, are awaiting us. We look forward to the day when we're with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And we know that even in this world, that God's going to bring us through these things. We have confidence in that. Our hope is in him. And again, it's not I hope so, but it is I know so. I'm just waiting for God to do it. And he will. He says, now hope does not disappoint. We're not going to be put to shame by hoping in God. It's not foolish to place our hope in him, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have come to know the great love, the great mercy that God has toward us by the gracious working of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. The Spirit reveals to us what God has done for us, what he's doing for us, how he loves us as his own dear children and is seeking to strengthen and keep us in the true faith, that he might bring us into perfect fellowship with him forever in his eternal kingdom. It says, for when we were still without strength, which basically means we were weak, we were hopeless, we could not save ourselves, we could not do anything to satisfy God's wrath, we were his enemies. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That means we are, or were, the ungodly. We were not born into this world loving God and trusting in him. Even if we had Christian parents or Lutheran parents, we were not born into this world Christian. We were born into this world members of the kingdom of this world, which is under the control or rule of Satan. But God in his grace and mercy, even when we were yet sinners and worthless and unable to help ourselves, or as Paul writes to the Ephesians, dead in our trespasses and sins, not a lot of hope for dead people. Christ died for us. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved his son. He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. If we want to know what love is, here is where we look. Because we were undesirable, worthless sinners, we were under the wrath of God, we deserve eternal damnation in hell. And yet, even though we had broken fellowship with God by continuing in rebellion against him, continuing in the sinfulness which we inherited from Adam, yet God loved us. He sent his son to die for us. It's not because he saw some good in us There was nothing good in us, but he still loved us, and he sent his son to suffer, to die for your sins and mine. That's unheard of. You know, sometimes people, you know, most time people won't die for anyone. I remember when I was working at the sheriff's office and everybody was afraid of, I don't know, was hepatitis B or whatever the scare was, and of, you know, it being airborne, you could catch it airborne. And I remember one of the sheriff's officers saying he did not want to take CPR because then if something happened to one of us, he might have to do CPR. And he says, I don't want to catch anything from you or anybody else. I'm not going to do it. That's kind of the attitude of a lot of people, that they're willing to help, but they're not willing to help if it puts them at any risk of harm. Sometimes for a righteous man, someone would even dare to die. You know, we have soldiers who have fallen on hand grenades to protect their buddies. We have many people who have given their life to defend nation and values. How many times are people willing to, you know, if you have somebody on death row for horrendous crimes, how many of us are willing to go to the judge and say, Judge, I want to die for that person so he can go free? Just doesn't happen. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so think how much God loved us even as ungodly sinners. Then we have a much more. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If God loved us that much when we were still his enemies, still in rebellion, still dead in our trespasses and sins, now that we have been graciously brought to faith in Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven, and he has adopted us as his own children, how much more does he love us? Again, we haven't come to this in Romans chapter 8, but one of the favorite verses that I have there in that chapter is in verses 33 and 34. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He's the one who declares us righteous and forgiven. Who is he who condemns? Who's going to be our judge? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So who's going to condemn us when we trust in Christ? God's already declared us righteous and forgiven. And Jesus, who will be the judge on the last day, is the one who died for us, paid the price for our sins, and now is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He's interceding for us. You know, every time Pastor Maul sins, you know, the devil, if the devil were admitted to heaven anymore, the devil would accuse me before God, but Jesus is there with his shed blood saying, I paid for those sins. And I remain acquitted. I'm pardoned. I have fellowship with God. And so if God loved us enough to send his son to die for us while we were still his enemies, still sinners, think how much more he loves us now that we are his children through faith in Jesus, forgiven our sins. In St. John's Gospel, after in chapter 5, is a beautiful and I always think very comforting verse. Chapter 5, verse 24. Here Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. I'll tell you why I find that so comforting. I know if I were to come into judgment, there is quite a list of things that I could be judged for, of places where I have failed to live in accord with God's perfect and holy will, which was actually for my good anyway. If I were to come into judgment, I know I could not stand. But those who hear God's word and believe in the one who has sent Jesus to die for me and has justified me through faith in Jesus, I'm not going to be condemned. I'm not going to be, you know, all these charges are not going to even be read against me because God has declared me righteous. I'm innocent through Jesus. It says, for if we were enemies, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we who are enemies of God by nature have now been reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Jesus paid the price. He made atonement. When we trusted in Jesus, we are reconciled to God. We have peace with God. And so as it says, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so we have the promise, the assurance that we will be spared in God's judgment because Jesus not only died for our sins, but he rose again and God accepted his sacrifice as full payment for our sins so that through faith in Jesus, we could partake of life. And then the final verse in today's section. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And so you and I have every reason to just be filled with joy, to be filled with thanksgiving and praise that though we were unworthy sinners, though we were weak and could not save ourselves, that God sent his Son to die for us, to pay the price for our sins, that we might look to Jesus and his cross in faith, and be reconciled to God. And we have received this reconciliation. We are now in fellowship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. And we are in fellowship with all others who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him for mercy and forgiveness. God grant that we continue in the true faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in all the blessings that are ours because of what Jesus has done and received simply through believing God's promise, trusting his word. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. I ask you to please stand. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Be seated. We continue by bringing forward our offerings. Thank you. I ask you to please stand and join me in the prayers of the church. Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly, to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastors and faithful pastors and missionaries everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the nations and peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and are under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers, that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seek to walk in your ways, that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of both our bodies and our souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs of body and soul, and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember today, especially Linda, Joyce, Matthew, Carl, Harley, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to those who are oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We continue on page 24 in the hymnal with the preface. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, thank you.
Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. And the Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
I now ask you to please stand.
Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen.
I ask you to please stand.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may be seated. We close our worship by singing hymn 473, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.